Thank you. Good day, friends. We again continue our studies on the prophet Elijah as found in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. And we're in chapter 18, where we come to the great challenge and its result. May I remind you again, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God had said, if this nation Israel, when it gets into the land of Canaan, if it goes into idolatry, I will shut the heavens. So Elijah his servant went and told King Ahab, who had brought Baal worship into Israel, together with his wicked queen Jezebel, and the whole land was given over to idolatry and corruption. And so the heavens were closed. Then we had the story of how God took care of his servant for 3.5 years. First 6 months down by the brook Cherith, where the ravens took care of him. And then for 3 years, he lived with a widow. Then he met Obadiah in chapter 18 and told him to go and get Ahab. And you remember how Obadiah, who feared the Lord greatly, he was in the wrong house. He compromised his position to keep his job. Hence, he had no testimony with the nation. He had no testimony with Ahab. He had no testimony for God. And then you have, as we were closing last lesson, of how he went and told Ahab that Elijah wanted to see him. For Elijah had said, Jehovah, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. And now from verse 17 of chapter 18, and running right down through verse 41, or at least to verse 40, we have the great challenge that Elijah gave both to the prophets of Baal, to the king, and to the people of Israel. And I want you to mark behind this whole challenge was one thing, and that was the glory of God. How this man Elijah yearned for God's glory. When he saw the idolatry, he realized there could be no rain until it was stamped out of Israel. Now, in the beginning of chapter 18, let me read the verse again. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth. But Deuteronomy 11 says there could be no rain until idolatry was stamped out. And when you come to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, we have, if anybody brings idols among the people of Israel, they were to be killed. So there could be no opening of the heavens, even though the Lord says, go and tell Ahab there's going to be an abundance of rain. He didn't say when that would take place. But Elijah knew there could be no rain, according to God's word, until idolatry was stamped out. So for the glory of God, for the confirmation of his word, he called for the king. And he said, now you send, verse 19, you send and gather all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. That means 850 prophets of Baal and of the groves. So he gathered them all together. Now in verse 21 I read, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If Jehovah be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but the Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a contest. If Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And notice the people didn't say a word. They didn't say we'll serve Jehovah. They said nothing. And this man stood alone against 850 of these prophets of Baal and of the groves. Stood alone against the king and against the whole nation. God give us men like Elijah today. Men who are bold, filled with the Spirit of God, who will communicate God's truth, whatever the cost may be. So we have it here. And so he brought a challenge. these prophets of Baal and of the groves. I tell you what we'll do. Let's take two bullocks. And you take one and I'll take the other. And you cut it in pieces, put it on wood, put no fire on it. And I'll take one, and I will dress that, and I will lay it on the wood, and I'll put no fire under it. And call you upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of Jehovah. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So I read here that the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, they took their bullock, and they cut it up, they dressed it, and they put it on their altar, put no fire under it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. Nobody answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon. Now this would be the time when Baal was being the zenith of its strength. They were sun worshippers. And if Baal could do anything at all, it would be at noon, when the sun was in the very zenith of the heavens. And he began to mock them. Elijah mocked them. You know, I can just hear this. Listen to what he said. Cry aloud. He's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure, he might be asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You know, it's an amazing thing, this. As I say, I would like to have been there. I would like to have seen this man Elijah just razzing these prophets of Baal. From early morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Talk about zeal. Talk about zeal and praying. Earnestness. But no answer. No answer. You see, friend, and I'm going to make a statement which I will be repeating. Power in prayer doesn't depend upon your praying. Power in prayer depends upon the one to whom you pray. Power in prayer doesn't depend even upon earnestness or the length of your prayers. It depends upon the one to whom you pray. And who was Baal? The image of Baal, eyes and could not see, ears and could not hear, hands that couldn't move, dead inanimate thing, an idol. No life, no power, nothing. And here are 850 men, priests, spending most of the day, what doing? Pleading, praying. Talk about zeal. Even cut themselves with knives in their frenzy to get an answer from Baal. You see, they were on the spot. There's no answer. There is no answer. There is only one living God who can answer. Not Baal. And this man, I'm sure Elijah had quite a time of it, as he taunted them when he said, cry aloud. By the way, you know, sometimes I wonder if Christians in their praying, I've heard them shout to the top of their voices. And I'm not opposed to that. But, you know, God isn't deaf. God isn't deaf. Shout aloud. Cry a little louder. He's a God, you say? Maybe he's out talking to somebody. Maybe he's pursuing somebody. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. And he must be awakened. So they cried aloud. No answer. Now we come down to the victory. Now notice, please, all the way through this, you've got Elijah assured of one thing. He's assured of victory. Notice what he did now. And Elijah said in verse 30, he said to the people, come. Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You see, they'd smashed every evidence of Jehovah being their God. And they'd taken his altar and smashed it to pieces. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Jehovah. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Let me just stop here for a moment. Will you please notice, it was the time of the evening offering, the time when the people should have been offering their sacrifices to Jehovah. There was a right time to do that. Notice something else. He took 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. What a rebuke to the condition of the day. You remember that Israel was divided into 2 nations. There was the 10 tribes which made up Israel, of which Ahab was the king, and then there was the 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, which made up the nation of Judah. As far as God was concerned, there was no division. I've oftentimes wondered about that. You know, today, God's people are divided. That is, openly, outwardly, we're divided into all kinds of organizations, what have you. Now, I'm not opposed to that. But there should be oneness of heart and oneness of spirit among God's people. Division among God's people is not for the glory of God. Now, I believe there's such a thing as dividing, or should I say standing for the word of God, which may bring division. But for those who love the word of God, those who love the Savior, there should be no division. God only sees one church. That's the church of Jesus Christ, made up of every individual believer in Christ. The world may see 2, 3, 4, or 100 different sects and denominations and parties. God only sees one church. And when I think of Elijah here, he was looking at it from God's viewpoint. As far as God was concerned, there was only one nation. And he took 12 stones, not 10, he took 12 stones, and he rebuilt his altar. And I read in verses 33, he put the wood in order, he cut the bullock in pieces, put it on the wood, and then he said, take 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And then he said, do it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. In other words, the whole thing was pretty well solid with water. Verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are Jehovah God, and yet you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. And Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them. Now, I've read that. I say the challenge had the assurance of victory. Time of the evening sacrifice, took 12 stones to remind them that God only saw one nation. And he rebuilt the altar. By the way, has your altar been broken down in your home, Christian friend? Has things just pressed in on you that you have no time in your home for your altar, where you can meet with God day by day? If it's been broken down, why not rebuild it? Why not rebuild it? And again, I say, you mark the victory. There was such an assurance. The prophets of Baal and of the groves, 850, prayed earnestly, and they prayed all day from morning, noon, to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Notice how brief is the prayer of Elijah. He just says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and what I've done at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are Jehovah, and that you've turned back their heart again. And the fire of the Lord fell, and the people cried out, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Here's the challenge. Here's the victory. Now, again, may I say, being God's servant in the will of God, this man Elijah was invincible. He's a man standing to one side, just one man. On the other side of the fence, 850 prophets of the grove, Ahab with all his retinue, and all the people of Israel. One man against the whole nation, against the king, against the prophets, these false prophets of Baal. And yet he was invincible. My friend, again may I plead with your heart, where are you living in the presence of God? These things kind of get into our heart, doesn't it? Where do you stand before God? You say, well, Mitchell, where do you stand? That's what concerns me. Does it concern you? The important thing is not my will, but God's will. The important thing is not what I want, but what he has declared. And this man Elijah just prayed a simple prayer. Listen, he knew there could be no rain upon the earth until idolatry was stamped out. That's why in verse 40, he said, let's kill the prophets of Baal. And he slew them by the brook. And with idolatry stamped out, now he can expect the rain. I again come back to my statement a while ago. Power in prayer does not depend upon your earnestness, nor does it depend upon the length of prayer. It depends upon the one to whom you pray. Is the eternal living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the object of your prayer? Is he the one to whom you address yourself and speak? Is your heart in touch with him? Is there communication between you and God? This man Elijah couldn't have prayed this if he hadn't walked before God. As he could say, Jehovah, before whom I stand. He knew he's God. And in knowing he's God, he could pour out his heart. He had the word of God under his feet. That's why I say, walking in the presence of God, being obedient to the word and knowing the word of God, he was invincible against the king and against all the prophets of Baal and even against the whole people of Israel. And the result was the people of Israel cried out, Jehovah, he is God. Not Baal, Jehovah. Kill the prophets. See, in Deuteronomy 11, if idolatry comes into the land, there'll be no rain. In chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, if you find any idolatry, kill those who emphasize and try to produce and to put upon God's people idol worship. God must be the center. The Lord Jesus Christ must be the center. Just as our Lord said in John 16, concerning the Spirit of God, when he has come, he shall not speak of himself. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. Christ must be the center. And as Philippians 2 says, God has given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Behind this whole thing in chapter 18, this whole thing, when he challenges the prophets of Baal and of the groves and challenges the king, behind the whole thing in Elijah's heart was the glory of God. What is the passion behind your life, the things you do, the things I do, the things that we plan? Is it the glory of God? Or are you planning for yourself? I believe we've come to a day in the history of America, in the history of the world, where God is looking for men. Men who are complete in their devotion to him. God grant you and I may be numbered among those were complete in our devotion to the Savior and to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that these simple lessons may we reach into your heart, into my heart. We be different men and different women because we've come into the presence of God and can be able to say, Jehovah, before whom I stand, we'll be invincible under the power of God if we're completely in that place of subjection to His will and obedience to His word. Now may God grant to you the joy of His fellowship today.